everything's bigger and brighter, especially our passion for special education. As always, a warm welcome to our listeners.
We are your statewide special education liaison team, here to elevate the conversation one story at a time.
Our mission? Not just to share, but to connect, representing the special education community across our state. We are here to say,
Texas may be big, but its heart and stories are even bigger.
Join us on this journey together. Let's celebrate.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Evan Heckman here at Sped Talk. Welcome to another episode. We're excited today to be down in the valley. We're at Far San Juan Alamo, and I've got several friends with me here today, and I would love for us to just go around and everybody introduce yourself, say hello.
I'm Monica Quesada from Region 19 out in El Paso, Texas.
I am Amy Rubalcaba from Region 1.
I am Vanessa Villagran from Region 1.
Patty Garcia, Region 14, Abilene, Texas, Special Ed Liaison.
I am Sarah Gonzalez. I am a PSJA ISD Special Education Teacher.
Veronica Quintana. I'm the Pathways Towards Independence Program Director from Far San Juan Alamo.
So we're here in PSJA and are fortunate to not just have a couple of reps from PSJA, but two of the liaisons from Region 1, which is where we are physically at this moment. Excited to have them. You know, we were here, was it about a year ago, Patty?
It was about
Monica?
A year ago. Yeah.
And we got to come on a little field trip out here, and we're pretty excited about what we saw and thought we should share it with some other people. So Patty, kind of as she does, reached out and got us an opportunity to come interview. Veronica, why don't you start by just tell us a little bit about PSJ. Tell us about the district, your size, demographics, your SPED population, any and all that stuff, so our listeners kind of get a feel for where we are.
So PSJA is a school district. We're a very large school district. We're probably the second largest in Hidalgo County. We have 30,000 students, and we have about 3,500 students with special needs. We're primarily probably 98% Hispanic, large percent economically disadvantaged. But Far San Juan Alamo is like the trendsetter with high performing programs, right? We have different programs such as early college program that we have. We have academies, our early childhood program, our dual language. We have a big program for our dropout recovery, and also we're high on sustainability. And so, you know, PSJ is really the place to be, I think.
You talked about several programs, and one specifically that we saw a piece of when we were here before was PTI. Tell us what is PTI? What does that stand for? What does it mean? Tell us about that program.
And so Pathways Towards Independence, and I'm glad you all are back. It was so much fun having you all a year
ago,
right?
Here.
That was so a lot of fun for our students and staff. But Pathways Towards Independence is a program for students 18 and older. And this program came about because I had a crazy idea, right? Being a special ed supervisor at the high school and trying to figure out what is it that we're going to do for students that are in high school. They were in high school starting in ninth grade, and we know that they can stay till the age of 22. And the problems that were occurring at the high schools, when the counselors would reach out to me and say, you need to be in this meeting, right? We have this student here for 7 years, and we just don't know what to put on his schedule, right? And so do we give him, you know, and they thought, well, give him PE or give him reading one or just put electives, you know, for the last 2 years, because we run out of courses and they graduate with 50 something credits, which is not, it wasn't very reasonable. And at the end of the day, we were not producing well-rounded students. And so we were not, you know, I was not really offering solutions to the comprehensive high schools when I was there. And it was, we were just kind of spinning our wheels. And so I thought, well, we need to do something for these 18 and older students that were remaining in the self-contained classroom and really graduating to the couch or to an adult daycare. And how can we continue to allow that? And you know, I said, no, we kind of need to change this up. It's not age appropriate. A student without disabilities is not in school. So why is a student with disabilities? And so when I kind of presented a plan to our director, and she says, well, I can set up a meeting with the superintendent so you can go share your idea with him and see if, you know. And of course, with anything, you know, you kind of have a plan. You kind of predict the questions he might ask. And by then, I had already snooped around in the district, right? I said, I know what school I can use. It's kind of age appropriate for the population. So it was a kind of like a credit recovery school. And so I kind of already eyeballed the teachers that I was going to steal from the schools because I wanted the best of the best, right? And I also had a list of the students that would meet the criteria, because Pathways Towards Independence is a program to ensure that the students graduate with independent living skills as well as employability skills. And we know that transition starts at the age of 14, but we weren't getting it, right? And so we said, we need to start this, you know, said, you know, when you think of what do we name it, you know, and of course mm-hmm. I had to brainstorm trying to figure out, and I got some teachers on board and had conversations with parents and, you know, just trying to pick, you know, brains of those that can help me kind of create the program. And so Dr. King, which is, you know, our ex-superintendent, you know, he's, you know, really about students with special needs. And you know, of course, he asked a million questions. And if you all know Dr. King, you know, you go with one thing, right? And you leave there with a million things to do. And it's like, wait, let's know. Well, what about this? And how are you going to incorporate college, you know? And how can you connect to STC? And, you know, and I said, well, yeah, let's start kind of small. No. And that was the expectation. And then I was all about, well, we're discussing this. I'm discussing it. So maybe for next year. And he's also about, he thinks that if you don't start something when you have the idea, mm-hmm. that chances are something's going to happen, and 6 months later you won't get it started. He truly believes in that, right? And so he was right. So here we are discussing. I'm presenting to the board by mm-hmm. next month. We opened our program.
Wow.
And so it was that quick. You know, we had to have ARDs, and I said, well, we have to have, you know, parent meetings. They, you know, their son or daughter has been in this school for 5-6 years, and now I'm moving them out to another place called PTI. And so we had to, you know, kind of do it that way. And then the board, you know, presenting to the board and you know, responding to their questions, especially when it's something new and you've done this for 100 years and actually 20 years ago, and this is my 30th year here in PSJA, but we had pitched it to the board and the board didn't buy it. And so, you know, and I went back and I dug through data and said, why? What was it? So I don't present the same proposal mm-hmm. to our superintendent and ensure that whatever I'm presenting, he buys into mm-hmm. it and the board buys into it. And so here we are 10 years later. And so I think, you know, Pathways Towards Independence has really, you know, we started with 10 students, you know, you start slow to go fast, right? And now we're at you know, 52 students, and we have almost 20 students that do not belong to Far San Juan Alamo, but parents mm-hmm. are choosing to bring them to our wonderful campus.
So, Veronica, can you tell us first, like, what year you started, and then also, like, lessons learned? For those districts that may be listening and thinking, how can we get this program started in our district? Some things that maybe you learned that they can take.
Okay, so we started in 2014, and it was just the 18 plus. And as you know, you all know, you did visit the Life House. And the Life House is a setting, which is across the street. It's so ideal, right? Across the street from our building. But the Life House we've had for about 6 years. And so, you know, teaching life skills in a real setting, such as a house, that's true learning. It's not in a simulated environment, as all classrooms are pretty much set up mm-hmm. in the schools, where you learn, you know, this is a small kitchenette, you have the sitting area, and you have, you know, your washer and dryer. But when you're learning how to manage and run a household and do things to be able to contribute, you know, to your family and to be independent enough to maybe live on your own. And so learning the skills in that setting is really meaningful, and students are really gaining the skill, because the evidence of that is the parents come back and say, he never did that before, and he's doing it now. And it's attributed to that, because that's what we're doing that's different. And so I think, you know, what I tell school districts when we share on how to get an 18 plus program going, you know, and they want it all, you know, I say, well, we started with 18 plus. And so maybe focus on one thing at a time, mm-hmm. right? Do I want to you know, start an 18 plus and just focus on this? Or do I want to have a different setting to work with students, you know, in life skills? And so we have our comprehensive high school students from the self-contained classrooms come to the Life House. We have about 120 students that come from the high school, so we know there's 9 through 12 there. And so they come on a rotation basis. So they're not doing the independent skills in the classroom. You know, they're focused on their STAR ALTs, right? Their academic portion of still, you know, finalizing those requirements. But when they come to the Life House is when they do their hands-on activities. So I would say that, you know, starting with one program instead of trying to do both at one time, and really the Life House is not a program, it's a setting, mm-hmm. but it's just, you know, too much, and just build it. And then I also say the way we started is I had criteria for 18 plus, so not all the 18 plus students were mm-hmm. coming, and I started slow. But then when I discovered that this building was going to be empty and I really, really wanted it, I was peeking in and I told Dr. King, I found my school. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be a school within a school, because that's not a true 18 plus right. program. And, you know, even this, you know, that belongs to the district is not the ideal. The truly ideal 18 plus is out in the community, mm-hmm. somewhere away from the school. And so I said, well, we can deal with this. We can settle for this. And I thought it's perfect because our 18 plus students still need to learn some of the life skills across the street. And so when this was emptied out, the district was lending this out or renting it out, you know, to the city. And so I told him, I found my school. I want it. And he's like, you're snooping around again, right? And so, well, yes, you know, things. And so at that point, you know, it was going to be, they were, you know, he was going to give it to me, but I said, and also, I will bring in every single 18 and older student from the high school, and you will not have an 18 plus student at any of the high schools. Mm. So I inherited them all, and I said, we can adjust instruction, and if employability skills is not appropriate for the student, we'll meet his needs. What does he need if he's more severe? And so that's, you know, kind of what we've done. And there's a lot of things that we're learning along the way. And, you know, the staff will share, right, that we don't settle. We're not basic, you know, mm-hmm. and we're extra. We're always extra. We want to be the best, you know, that we can be.
You said a couple of things, a lot of things, actually. I want to talk about two of them specifically. you said something, and for our listeners, and a few people at this table, they know who Pam is. And Pam was one of the founders, and she, her passion and expertise was transition. And you said, we don't want them to graduate to the couch or to adult daycare. And Pam was famous for saying, we're not gonna graduate to the couch, right? So the second thing you said, and I'm gonna connect these two, the second thing you said was the criteria. So what are you doing to not graduate them to the couch? And what are those criteria to be a part of the program that you're running? Obviously, you just said that you took some 18 plus students, you took them all off of the school, but what are those criteria to get into PTI? What is that next step? If a student is gonna do that, what do they have to do to be a part of that?
So when they're at the high school, you create their transition plan. And ultimately, you have to discover, what is their goal? Are we identifying their strengths and their preferences and their interest and gearing everybody individually to what they're gonna do for the rest of their lives, right? And most of our students are gonna require support from their families. And so when you have an ARD meeting at the high school and you're trying to make a plan for the student, and if the student is gonna require to focus on employability goals and objectives, then this is the place for them. And so our whole program here is that our students graduate with employment. And so the teachers will say, you know, and you can ask them, if we are not securing a job for the student by the time they walk out that door, the last day that they're here, 21 or 22, then we're not doing our job. Because that is the whole goal of our program. And so it's been a kind of like a mind shift and, you know, just a lot of maybe learning curve for the high schools, because, you know, when you're reaching your last year and you're making a plan, and we obviously know that there's some students that are more severe and they're going to require total care for the rest of their lives. And so as an ARD committee, you have to determine, does he continue to require to be in school? Because the law says that they can, and is that appropriate if we've had the same goal for 15 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if, you know, if the student requires total care, you know, and you know, I've experienced, right, where when I, in, you know, took in all the students, that one of the students transferred in here, when I said, I'll take them all, mm-hmm. well, I took all the students, right? And so I ended up having a student in my classroom in a hospital bed with a mm-hmm. full-time nurse. So was that really, really age appropriate? And so the ARD committee made the decision, and, you know, we eventually, you know, the student aged out. But so I believe that if the program objectives are too difficult for the student to achieve, then the program may not be appropriate, and that we're not making right decisions at the ARD, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so the criteria is, you know, if we need to work on independent living skills, because we have to ensure that the students can get ready to go to work. We have to ensure that they can set an alarm. We have one student that is so cool. He's been working in the summer, right? And he's graduating this year, and he's going to work at Walgreens. He's done that summer job. But, you know, we had to figure out for him how, mom is like, I can't take him to work. And so he has a taxi. Oh, I go to work in the Royal Taxi, you know? And so that those are the things that, you know, we have to ensure that we go around every obstacle that there could possibly be. But they have to, you know, end with employment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, a little bit earlier you said something that I think will resonate with all of our listeners. And you said, when we have the kids in school and they can stay through 22, we tend to just throw in a reading class, throw in a PE class. You know, that's not something that's new. I even experienced that. But you found a way around that, and that's what your program is doing. Can you tell us a story about how it's impacted your community? Like, what has it meant to your community that you are having these young adults prepared and ready for the next
step? The community, you know, at the beginning, everybody's, what is this PTI? What is this PTI? And that's one thing about, you know, when people start programs, find something catchy, right? You know, mm-hmm. I think it's pretty fancy, right? Pathways Towards Independence, PTI. But, you know, it the community is aware. Some of our students have siblings, right? Not just that, you know, the other day I had a parent, you know, call and said, you know, I want to make sure that my son is, you know, on the list to attend PTI. And of course, you know, I start asking questions and stuff. He's in third grade. And I said, well, wait. And so I explained to her, and she says, yes, I understand that, but I still want him on the list. And I was, you know, it's going to be a while. And I, you know, I had to explain to her the process. And she says, I know, but I think that it would be, you know, filled. And I want, you know, I guess, to, you know, like Tropical Texas, yes. and different agencies, you have to get on the list. So she's, yeah. like, but I need to get him on the list to ensure that he participates in PTI. But the community, we're not just doing things to ensure the kids are independent and job ready, but we also teach them community involvement. You know, here on campus, Friday is about the community. Monday through Thursday, we're doing instruction. The students spend half a day on campus. We rotate them, and then the other half, they're at job sites within the community. But on Fridays, it's a community day. We do fun things and things that they could possibly do when they're out there on their own, because they're adults. And you ask any one of our students, and they know this is not high school. This is no longer high school. And we're adults, and, you know, and to the point that they want to have a boyfriend and girlfriend. And that's one of the things, yes. that we kind of work towards trying to teach them, right? The right behavior, right? It's okay that you have a boyfriend and girlfriend, but we don't, you know, we're not going to hold hands here in school, but, you know, but it's age appropriate. And so we focus a lot on that also. You know, we have Texas Workforce Solutions that comes to our campus, you know, and work on the pre-EDS camps, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, building relationships and, you know, communication skills and interview skills. And so, you know, our kids are, and I say kids, right, and they're adults, but mm-hmm. yeah.
I want to add to the community involvement. As a special education teacher, and what I teach here is culinary arts and floral design for our students. Through South Texas College, I've received that training so that I can in turn train my students, and they, when they graduate, receive that continuing education certificate, so they can, you know, if they have interest in, you know, baking or landscape design or you know, working in floral design at a flower shop. And we actually had a student graduate last year, and she loved floral design, so we would take her to a flower shop, and she even chose the location and business where she wanted to work just by driving by, and she loved the signage, wow. I would assume, and she said, I want to work there. Mm-hmm. But connecting with the businesses and taking the students out to job training and job training sites. The businesses are aware of who PTI is, and we're known around the community more so. Becoming business partners, you know, having our business partners. We have over 20 business partners in this area where they open their doors for us and allow us to go and train our students with whatever it is, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a clothing store, Goodwill. We go to Texas Roadhouse here in McAllen. I go to Barbecuties and take my students once a week, and the manager loves for us to go. They already have our jobs ready to go. They have a list of a to-do list for each of the students to have something to do. And so they all get to experience different things, but being part of the community, that's part of it. That's part of it. Learning, taking them out for job training, they get to know the students, they get to make connections with the students, and then they hear about us, then they spread the word. And it's important to continue to spread the word, to make sure that businesses still continue to open the doors for our programs, our 18 plus programs, because this is the only way that we can continue to give our special education students those opportunities to get employment.
Yeah, it really removes the limits of we only have this and every student has to go in this way. It's right. Kind of like whatever the student wants.
Yes,
there's a place interest, for them.
Just like Ms. Quintana said, you know, there are students that like to, you know, do landscaping, you know, and I'm going to go and also discuss our success story that we have. I'm connecting it with landscape design because this student in particular, his name is Tomas, he has almost completed a year of employment with PSJA as a maintenance custodian at the Lifehouse. So for the 4 years that he was here with us at PTI, and even when he was a student, freshman through his senior year, he would go and receive instruction, independent skills instruction at the Lifehouse, and he always shadowed Mr. Trejo, our custodian, mm-hmm. there. And so he shadowed him. He loved to work outside, work out in the garden, water the garden, pick up the leaves, he learned how to use a blower. And then when he transitioned to here to PTI, he also received that landscape design certificate. So he had all that experience that he needed to become that custodian, that his goal was to, he always said that he was gonna take Mr. Trejo's job. Uh-huh. And he would tell him in Spanish, te voy a quitar tu trabajo, I'm gonna take away your job. And well, now Tomas is there, it's almost a year in May, and he is there. He's become an employee of PSJA, and I'm so glad that PSJA and the maintenance department gave him that opportunity. Now, before that, I did help him facilitate the interview. I helped facilitate the interview when Tomas went in to interview, and he did really well. He's very shy, so, you know, I was able to sit in the interview, and those were the accommodations that also businesses have exactly. to understand, you know. Mm-hmm. A student with autism might not be able to open himself up to the interviewer, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, they trust us, and we're able to help them, you know, assist yeah. them with, you know, the answers or things like that. So it's very important. That's very important. But Tomas is there, almost completing a year. He knows how to punch in and out now. He brings his own lunch. He has truly become an employee, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's a beautiful
story.
That
is amazing.
Beautiful story. Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things with that we were a little bit concerned is to have him disconnect from our students, right? We had to ensure that he understood that he was an employee now. He was no longer part of our school. Mm-hmm. He could not eat lunch with our students.
Right.
We had to, you know, that he was separate from that. And we were talking about it. He's done a really good job at understanding that. You know, now he talks about giving money to his dad because they bought a truck, so they're kind of jointly paying it, right? You know, he says it's his truck, right? But, you know, he doesn't drive, but it's my truck, right, that he helps pay for. And so it's really neat because he has really separated himself from us, and now he is an employee and does his job. So it's a super neat.
It's a testament of his growth and dedication to being an employee for PSJA. So it's a beautiful thing to see.
Well, and you all have built an amazing bridge for that to happen, for the kids to go from being students to adulthood, right?
Yes, yes.
Sarah, we heard a little bit from Veronica about sort of her history and her sort of dream and vision of making this happen. Tell us about your history here at PSJA, and why are you teaching, and what does that look like?
Well, I started here in 2010 as a special education clerk, and actually I was interviewed by Ms. Quintana for the job. So I clearly remember her being in the panel interviewing me, you know, but I did get the job. And so my job was to help diagnosticians manage their caseloads. Mm-hmm. And so I did that for several years. And when I had the opportunity, of course, Ms. Quintana had just started her PTI program. And so there was a position for secretary because her, you know, she needed an assistant. And I applied for the job and got the job. And I've been working alongside Ms. Quintana ever since. And so I was her secretary for 8 years. And I'm saying was because while I was her secretary, I fell in love with the students and the special education population. They're my babies. You know, they touch my heart every single day. Even as a secretary, I felt like I was a counselor, their mother hen. They would come and visit me, come and give me gifts. And I'm getting emotional because I just love them, you know? And I wanted to do more. I did not want to just sit behind a desk and not be able to sit in the classroom and know that I can also be a part of, guiding them to adulthood. So I went to school for 3.5 years, working 8 hours and also, you know, studying and working hard to get my bachelor's degree. And I'm finally teaching here. This is my first year, and I'm almost done, you know, in May for my first year, completing my first year of teaching as a special education teacher, and it's been amazing.
That's awesome. That's
and
awesome.
I feel like I'm truly making an impact in my students.
Yeah, yes. Congratulations. That's a success story too. Tomas is a success story of a student, and Sarah's is one of an adult. But that's why we do this.
Yes.
That's why we get into this.
Yes.
Because we are impacted emotionally, intellectually, we see and hear and want to be a part of and want to make a difference. And that's why we do what we do. That's why we're in education. That's why we're in special education. And that's why Sped Talk is this podcast. We were talking a little bit before we started recording about, okay, so do y'all just do it here or there? It's like, no, we want to share the warm, uplifting, positive stories from all over the state with whoever wants to listen to them. So that your words are exactly the type of thing that we want to share. Success story for you.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Really, really glad that you're in this role.
Thank you.
And that you can share that with us. Patty asked a little bit about, some things that you would share with somebody, pitfalls you learned along the way. Are there anything specifically that were challenges that you would want someone to avoid, or specific steps you would say, if you're going to start a program that's more than just maybe a campus-based 18-plus program, this is what you should do? Are there anything specifically that you would recommend to people that they could take down as advice as they move forward on that journey?
Well, I think if they're going to have criteria to make sure that it's meaningful, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we have some parents that may challenge, and it may be a case where you're allowing one but not the other, right? And mm-hmm. be able to defend why it is that you're not allowing certain students in an 18 plus program, right? And if you're going to accept all the students, right, can all of the students meet that goal? So really look at the criteria. The other thing is, you know, I had the opportunity to be able to handpick my staff. Mm-hmm. I believe that, you know, you have to have the best teachers. You have to be passionate about special education. I don't think that, you know, placing, you know, staff in a position that maybe they didn't really select, that doesn't work. You know, you have to really give everything. I tell, you know, the staff and everybody, you give me everything, right? We work weekends and we work evenings, and we owe everything to these students, and you have to love them. You have to, you know, love the students that you work with. So just being selective, and not just that, you know, you have to be special ed certified, but in the interview, you know, the questions that I've created when we interview applicants, it's what skills do you have? Because we're skills based. We don't do any more academics. They're credit complete. And so the courses that we teach here, which are culinary arts, we have floral design, we have photography, we also do team sports, because Special Olympics they do for the rest of their lives. We also have landscape design, construction management. We have a class for employability skills. You know, our students leave with a Gmail and not a PSJA email, because once they walk out that door, it's gone.
Yeah.
And so we teach them that through that. And we also teach lifetime nutrition and wellness, because that's very important for our population. You know, they're starting to look at labels and saying, I'm not drinking that Coke, it's 140 calories, you know. And so we're having them make those better decisions, you know, for eating. So I think just making sure that the courses are aligned to jobs as well, because if we're teaching skills and connecting that class to a job, there has to be a linkage. And so students begin to identify, I really like going to Barbecuties, or I really like Best Buy, or I prefer outdoors. And that's how we're targeting their strengths, their preferences, and their interests. So just being strategic on the courses that you teach, and that it's meaningful, and that it leads to employment. Because what's the purpose?
Right. Yeah, I love that. You said three things that really sort of resonate with me, right? Skills. What are the skills that you're going to bring? Mm-hmm. What skills can our students leave with, right? And then linkage, like what's your connectivity to? Here's my beginning, but I've got to link that to other things so that I have more than just a beginning and stay there and never get anywhere, exactly. Right? So that ultimate third thing is that employability, so that we're not just graduating to the couch, right? Yes. We're not just graduating to the adult daycare. I think that's great.
You know, and I know we were inspired. We came as a big team, and this was a conversation at Liaison about what we saw and what we did, and we had to come back. And I will say, we talked to another 18-plus program who were also inspired by you. So this is not just, you know, our community. Like, it is reaching out already across McAllen, and we are excited to be able to take this statewide. Like, we want everyone to hear this, because, you know, this is what our kids need, a passion and a belief that they can do anything that they choose to do, right? And that's the message I'm getting.
Thank you. And I think just honing in on the population, just, you know, completely removing them from the high school, they have a different perspective. And, you know, as I reflect, this is, you know, 34 years, and I was telling our superintendent the other day, I don't think I'm going to be here forever, right? You know, at some point I have to kind of grow somebody to take on, you know. It's, and, you know, Dr. King, this wise old man, right, you know, he says, everybody can create a program. You can have an idea and you can build it. But once you leave, who is going to maintain that momentum? Who is it that you're going to train to carry, right? And you hear, you know, through the year, 34 years in being in education, you know, you think about, I remember that program, what happened to it? Mm-hmm. I remember that it was working. Well, the principal left or transitioned, and then it just went away. We cannot allow this to go away. You know, we are making changes in lives. You know, we were talking about our graduates. We had 12 graduates in May, and they're still working. And they come around in our graduation ceremony. I mean, you all should come and participate, right? It's such a big deal, because our students get their diploma now that they're complete. And they get their STC, South Texas College certificates, because they've earned it. They worked hard the 4 years, or, you know, getting it in floral design, cake decorating, employability skills, and landscape design. But not just that, the business partner is present at our graduation ceremony, presenting the job to the student, whether it be the cap or the t-shirt or the tag. That's such a big deal for families.
Yeah.
And when parents say, I never thought, that was not the expectation for my son,
right?
And now, you know, here this business is, you know, Walmart is saying, I'm hiring him, and, you know, they're taking a picture with him, and that's just such a big deal. You know, one of the biggest concerns, you know, and I think that, you know, I want to fix the world and save the world, and, you know, but I worry about our graduates. I worry that even though we require that they're all clients of Texas Workforce Solutions, they have to be full clients to ensure that if there's any hiccups when they're no longer here, that they have that resource. We always open the door to our families, even though, you know, they're no longer students, right? But that they stay with that job, and that if there's some sort of issue, that they reach out, you know, to Texas Workforce. But we're super proud of our May graduates. They're all still working, and they'll come by, and, you know, one of our students is working at Peter Piper Pizza, and she comes and she wants to, I think she wants to see her ex-boyfriend, right? But she comes with her drink, and she just got out of work, and mom is so proud of her because they gave her a dollar raise, and she's one of our students, super popular, you know, she has Down syndrome, but she was the hardest worker, and, you know, and she's still there a year later. And, you know, the stories when they come back and say they gave them more hours or they gave them an increase in pay, wow.
And
talk
how?
About equity, you know?
Yeah. Yep. What I love to hear is when the parents come back and say that the employers treat them like they're, you know, the same, you know, or they do extra celebrations for them, you know. They find out it's their birthday, oh, or when they get a raise, they throw a big party for them, you know. So they treat them just like one of us. And that is the, you know, the most heartfelt thing, you know. I love to hear that, you know, that they're treated like one of us.
And it's just affirming that, you know, as people in the school system, yes, we affect student lives, but we also affect parent lives and extended family life. Like it's a bigger thing than just what we give to the student. Mm-hmm. You know, how proud.
Yeah, and that student in particular that I was talking about, she came from a neighboring district from Hidalgo. And she was only with us 1 year. And so after everything was over and, you know, the parent came to talk to me and, you know, to thank PSJA for allowing her daughter to be part of our school. And she just sat and cried. And I don't want to cry, but she felt like she let her daughter down because she hadn't removed her and placed her here sooner.
Uh-oh.
And she spent a year. And I said, but it's a celebration. She learned so much within 1 year, and she's working.
Yep.
So it's not, you know, don't feel guilty about not intervening sooner and making sure that you know, that she got into the program and she was here a year, and here she is still working, but it was really emotional.
All kinds of success stories coming out of PSJA today.
Yeah.
Well, we're just rolling in. Patty, what else would you want to know or say before we start to kind of wind this down?
Yeah, well, before, first of all, thank you both for taking the time to share your stories with us, the successes, and also like the pains and the gains that you guys have been through. But what I would like for audience to also know, because I was a little bit selfish in trying to schedule this. First, I'm a Valley born girl, so I wanted to come back to my roots. But also because when I came to visit, I saw the amazing work that was being done here. You know, and I shared this story at our previous recording. I had a cousin with Down syndrome. And when you say that, she did. She graduated to the couch. And she had so many abilities, right? So I know the power that can be done when there's programs like this. And there's such a need. And when I think about Region 14 and some things that are missing there and across the state, I just feel like that's powerful to be able to create a program like this. So do you mind sharing either your contact information for maybe those districts that are like, man, I'd like to reach out to those ladies out there and just get some more information on how to get the program started?
We can share our email and our phone number.
Okay.
But, you know, I just want to also add, right, that we're not about hoarding our stuff. I love to share. You know, we love to do presentations, right, and the learning tours. And, you know, we are presenting here at this College for All Learning Conference, actually, in October, and I'll be presenting. But I believe that our students should be in their community home-based school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that the students should, and that parents should be inconvenienced, right? There's a school down the street from your house, but you choose, you know? And so to PSJA, but I think that the school, and that's why I like to share to the school, with the school districts, on how to create their own program, and with the dynamics, and, you know, they come for learning tours and they're still call or email and say, well, we have one more question, we're getting ready to launch, and one more question, and, you know, can you share this form or this memo that you put, or how did you put this presentation so the board could buy this, right? And so we love to share, and we believe that, you know, it's the students that are going to benefit. And so it doesn't matter. Everything that we create, we will give out to whoever needs
it. Is this an annual conference that is held?
So it is an annual. I don't think it was held last year. I'm not even that sure. I did present maybe like 5 years ago, but it is. And these are all of the topics that are covered, and you pick your sessions. And so we are on there, Pathways Towards Independence. And so, you know, you can begin or share this with anybody who would like to.
And that conference is coming up October. It's in October. Yes. The 24th.
And then part of that, you can also register through that conference to be able to visit the program. So not just one day participate in the conference sessions, but you can also visit the locations of these that you pick. Mm-hmm. So that's also pretty neat.
And so for our listeners, Far San Juan Alamo, that's psjaisd.us is the website. You are Veronica Quintana, Quintana.
Uh-huh.
And what's a phone number if someone wanted to call your office or the special ed department to ask about these programs?
Our campus number is 956-784-8524.
Awesome. Awesome. We are so thankful that y'all took the time today. Sarah, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Sharing your perspective
My pleasure.
Those success stories. Veronica, for allowing us to come in and share about your program so that other people may take this information and help even more of our adult students not graduate. To the couch. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that's a wrap on another enlightening episode of SPED Talk, where every conversation, every story we share is a step closer to a more inclusive and understanding world.
Stay connected with SPED Talk on Facebook, Instagram, X, YouTube, and Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcast episode. Thank you for being part of the SPED Talk family. Stay tuned.